Truth and Transcendence. Brought to you by Yes, You Now, with Catherine Llewellyn. Truth and Transcendence, episode 28. Why are we here? And why does that matter? So over the last few weeks, I've been talking about something, a very boundary topic, a very local topic in terms of the timing and the fact that it's very present at the moment and something everyone's talking about, and that's the COVID regime. So now I'm swinging right to the other end of the pendulum and talking about something that's fundamental to our existence in a very broad sense. So I'm shifting from something very specific to something much more general, much more essential, which is the question, why are we, and by we I mean humanity in general, why are we actually here? Why do we exist? Now, I think this is a very interesting question. I think it's an important question. I'm very interested when I think about, as I raise this question, what your response to that might be. Because when this question is raised, there are a whole number of very natural reactions to the question. So one quite natural reaction is to say, well, I don't know why we're here, and it doesn't matter. I don't know why we're here, and it doesn't matter, because I've got much too much on my plate to even think about, far too many things to even think about, without going off into some sort of esoteric question of why we're here. Another very natural reaction is to immediately say, well, there is a reason that we're here, but it's not for me to know. There's a reason that we're here, and knowing what that is and understanding what that is something that is beyond me. It's something that can only be known by an entity that's more powerful than I am, or more all-knowing than I am. Whether that entity is God, whether that entity is the universal source, whether that entity is my boss's boss, whatever it may be, a very natural reaction to the question, why are we here, is the response which says, there is a reason, but it's not a reason I have the capacity to understand, or a reason that I have the authority to choose or identify for myself. So what other natural reactions are there to this question? Well, another very common reaction is, please don't ask that question because it upsets me. Now that reaction comes from a place of not wanting to look at the question for fear that the answer is something very disturbing. So for some people, a very disturbing answer to that question might be, well, there is no meaning to why we're here. Our existence is essentially of no meaning whatsoever. It's an accident. And for some people, even worse than that, that the idea that our existence, humanity as a species, is overwhelmingly a negative. And this is one that is probably fairly more common now than perhaps it has been at other times, in the advent of the climate change initiative, where there's an awful lot of talk about the fact that all that human beings do is ruin the planet. Now, the thought that is the most important characteristic of humanity, that we are basically a nuisance and a damaging element, and that that's primarily what we are, that is unbelievably distressing as a thought. So this question, why are we here, in and of itself, is kind of interesting, because even looking at and considering and reflecting on our reaction to the question itself can be extremely revealing. Now, I'm actually a person who has another reaction at the moment. When I say at the moment, because this is another thing, our response to these questions can vary enormously depending on our state, depending on what's happening in our lives, the circumstances, how we feel, how grounded we are, how centered we feel, how successful we feel, how happy we are, the degree to which we feel we belong, and so on. All of those things can affect how we respond in response to one of these questions. So for myself at the moment, I'm in the fortunate moment of finding the question interesting and stimulating and intriguing and quite fun, quite an enjoyable thing to ask. Because I enjoy things which remind me that the mundanity of life, the building blocks of day-to-day life are not all that there is. So I enjoy things that remind me of that and that remind me not to take myself too seriously because there's something much, much bigger going on. And that to me is exciting and interesting in this moment. If you catch me on another day, I might say, that thought is overwhelming. That thought is distressing. That thought is just one more thing that's too many things for me to think about because I'm overwhelmed. So even just in this first 6.5 minutes, according to the timer of this episode, already we're opening up a vast array of possible aspects of ourselves and our relationship with our own questions about reality that are incredibly valuable to explore. And why do I actually talk about this on this episode? Well, it's because pretty much everyone I've ever worked with, regardless of how comprehensive and inclusive or how specific the area that we're working on is, at some point in the work, the question of what they consider to be the reason why we humanity are actually here has a bearing on the work. And the reason for that is because whatever it is people are working on, whatever it is that they're looking to reflect on, explore, examine, perhaps improve on, perhaps activate more fully, whatever it is, part of what they're looking for is meaning. And yes, you can say, what is the meaning of a cup of coffee? You know, what is the meaning of a glance across a room? What is the meaning of touching the hand of your beloved? And all of that is very beautiful and very poignant. And as well, we as human beings also have a desire and an appetite and a hunger for a sense of meaning that goes much, much deeper than that. And you can't go, well, you can actually. You can go deeper than the question of why are we humanity here? You can go to the question of why is here here? Why is the planet here? Why is the universe here? Why is all that taking place? Or is there even a why? But for now, I am limiting it, if that is a limitation, I am limiting it to the question of why is humanity here on the planet? And as you can tell, as usual, I'm not actually answering the question because asking the question is the powerful place to be. It's the place of leverage. It's the place where you can actually start to find some truth and some meaning and some essential sense of reality. So when we explore a question like this, it's interesting to actually consider why are we exploring it and what do we hope to achieve by exploring it. So one reason for exploring is because of our inherent search and seeking for meaning. That in and of itself can be a good enough reason to explore this. Another reason people might explore this is because they're embarking on something, they're engaged in something where they've realized that their connection to a sense of meaning is particularly important and significant for that particular endeavor. And they want to deepen and enrich their sense of meaning for themselves and to help orient themselves and get themselves in the right state for that endeavor. And in some cases, the answer to the question is something that they will then refer to in actual literal sense when they're looking at making certain choices. So, for example, if you're a leader who is making choices that affect many thousands of people, you might feel that your connection with the question, why are we humanity here on this planet, is actually not only relevant but crucial to some of those choices you're going to be making that will be affecting other people and that will be affecting you and your spirit. Because the manifestations of the choices that you make also affect you. They also condition and tune and either nourish or starve your spirit, or somewhere in between the two shades of grey. So these are just some of the reasons why people explore such a question. Now, I personally have a favourite story, and in fact this question of why we're here, very often we end up exploring mythology and legend and imaginary stories and situations, because in some ways, in some situations, some aspects, sometimes those legends and myths are the closest we can get to actually getting some sort of understanding of such a big question. Because a literal, practical, present moment answer may just feel totally inadequate to the question. So I did a, when the lockdowns were in full swing in 2020, sort of early to mid 2020, I did an online course which was provided by a chap called William Whitecloud. You may have heard of him. He's a very powerful facilitator, and he ran this very interesting online course with, I think there were 3,000 people on the course. And we broke down into little small groups and pairs and this, that, and the other, so that it was actually very rich. And one of the things we did was we listened to a visualization which William had recorded for us. And in this visualization, we actually explored a mythological way of viewing our reason for being here on the planet, which married very closely with that which feels true to me and that feels good to me. And I'm going to share that with you. So as I share this with you, maybe observe your response to this little story. Your response may be, well, that's very sweet, but it's a bit childish. Or your response may be, that is so profound, my life has changed forever. Or your response may be, well, that's kind of interesting. Or it may be, that makes no sense whatsoever. Or it may be, I'm never listening to this woman on her episodes ever again. So you could have any reaction whatsoever, but just observe your reaction to this. So this story, which is perhaps one of my favourite mythologies about why we're here, is the idea that I, you, we, all of us are actually stars. And our normal way of being, our normal manifestation, is to be part of a community of stars. And every now and again, any one of us will take on a specific mission. And that mission is to temporarily travel through space to the Earth and incarnate on the planet Earth as a human being with the purpose of serving the collective consciousness and helping to raise the collective consciousness and support general awakening. And then at the end of that particular mission, regardless of how successful or unsuccessful that may have been, the act of service in and of itself is a gift, then goes back to the star community. Now, I find that a very appealing story, and it's actually reminiscent of some of the Eastern philosophies which talk about incarnating for a reason and incarnating in order to get certain lessons. And then there are other schools of thought which suggest that we are all pieces of God, that he's broken up into pieces, all of whom have forgotten that we are part of God. And that the purpose of that is to rediscover who we are, which is God. So these are just some of the ideas that some people have around this whole question of why are we here on the planet. So it almost doesn't matter what we believe about this. What matters is that we turn inwards and look at the question. Because if we don't turn inwards and look at the question, that doesn't mean that we don't have a position or a belief system or a mythology about it. And if we haven't looked at that belief or that mythology, then it's operating on an unconscious level. And as we all know, when we have things running on an unconscious level, we are then ripe for triggering. We are ripe for polarizing and fighting and arguing between positions. When we have an unexamined relationship with this sort of question. So whether we think we were put here by a divine being, whether we think that we evolved through natural selection, whether we think both are true, whether we think that it was just a magical accident, or whether we think that each one of us is actually the only one here. This was an interesting one that my father told me about when I was six. My father was not a normal human being. And he said, actually, Catherine, what if you're the only one here and all of these other people and everything else in reality is just a projection of your mind? What if that's the case? In which case, what's the purpose of that? And the purpose of that, of course, would be to discover who you are through discovering what it is that you create outside of you. Now, that's an interesting idea, which was picked up again by some of the Enlightenment intensives in the 60s, 70s and early 80s, who explored this whole idea that the person who's experiencing themselves as alive is actually the source and the author of their entire experience, and that the thought experiment of imagining that, or even perhaps even stepping into a position of some sort of sense of knowing that that is the case, that they've actually created everything in their experience, was used to leverage quite a powerful shift in consciousness for people. So that's just another example of one of the ways of looking at this question. So I think what I'm suggesting here is that our perception and our clarity about why humanity is here actually underpins everything else in our thinking. So the degree to which we're conscious and awake to our inner reality around this, and perhaps even the degree to which we're open to stretching that reality and being open to other ideas and perspectives, makes a fundamental difference to our connection with meaning. And what it can do as well, when we really explore in some depth, especially if we do so over an extended period rather than just getting a flash insight, a flash epiphany over a weekend on a workshop. I'm talking about committed, ongoing exploration and reflection. That can give us quite an extraordinary sense of groundedness and quite an extraordinary sense of security in our own sense of the real. Now, I'm going to actually put a caveat in on that, because something I do feel quite strongly is that those of us who are most connected to reality are also those of us who are most aware of the fact that we don't know what reality is. Now, that sounds like a contradiction, but the reason I'm saying it that way is because my sense is that what reality is something far more complex and greater and more nuanced than anything we're actually capable of experiencing in any truly realistic way. And when we can actually accept that and be at peace with that, that's when we've got the greatest chance of receiving as much clarity as possible about what is actually real. So it's a really interesting dichotomy, that one. But yes, so that sense of groundedness, that sense of security in our connection with reality, in quotes, can give us quite an amazing sense of clarity, even when what that clarity does is to let us see very clearly that we are not seeing clearly. And from that, we can choose our direction, and from that, we can find, create, clarify our context. And that makes an extraordinary difference to how we show up in the world. And it makes an extraordinary difference to how we then lead our people. So this has really been an episode about inviting reflection once again, which I think probably most of my episodes are inviting reflection. And I'd like to really encourage you over the next week to just notice those moments and those situations where your relationship with your perception of why we are all here actually comes into play in your daily life. And what part does it play? And how does that affect you? And how does that affect your thinking and your choices? And how does it affect how you are relating with your people? And how does it affect your context for what you're doing? And how does it affect the context that you're inviting others into? And, you know, some people at this point now say to me, well, how do we know when we've explored enough? So my answer for that is to say, well, the first part of that is to say, how do we know when we've explored enough for now? Because I don't think we've ever explored enough, if we're talking about for the rest of our lives. But in any given moment, there can be a moment where we've explored enough for the moment. And I think we know when we've explored enough when we're full. Like that feeling of when you're eating a delicious meal and you reach that point, particularly if it's a really nutritious meal and you're not eating too fast and there's not too much noise, so you can pace your eating, you can digest as you go, you're relaxed, you may be with other people, you may be by yourself, but it's a benevolent situation in terms of your body receiving the nourishment of the food that you're eating. And there comes a moment where you feel that beautiful sense of satisfaction that you are full. You could maybe squash a bit more food in, but you don't need to. You are satisfied. Now, that's the same experience that you can have when you're exploring this question of why are we here on the planet. You know when you've reached that moment of feeling replete, full, well enough fed on the reflection. So it's not that you'll never eat again. It's not that you'll never reflect and explore again. It's that you've explored enough for now. And just as with the food that you take into your body, there's a period of time where your body digests that food and uses it to enable you to move around, to think, to breathe, to laugh, to dance, to work, to do everything that you're doing. Same thing with this. When you've explored enough for the moment, there's then that process of integration and processing and utilization of the outputs of your exploration, which then feeds into how you do your life, all aspects of your life. And then there comes a point where you're ready to do some more exploring. You've rested from the last period of exploration, which is work. This kind of exploring is work. You've rested from that. You've utilized it. It has fed your life, and you're now prepared to and interested in exploring some more. And the space between those two could be years, it could be days, it could be minutes. And you know in yourself, this is another theme I keep coming back to, which is the theme of opening more and more fully to trusting one's own intuition about what is enough, when is enough enough. When have I explored enough? When am I satisfied? And then, of course, there's the other question of how can we help others to explore this question? So I'm not going to go into that this week. We'll pick up on that in some of the future weeks, because we're going to be enlarging on this particular theme over the rest of the month. So thank you so much for listening. I wish you a beautiful week of reflection and fun, and whatever it is that you're doing, may it be very successful and fulfilling. And I look forward to seeing you next week. You've been listening to Truth and Transcendence, the regular weekly podcast from Yes, You Now with Catherine Llewellyn. For more information, head to yesyounow.today/podcast.